Sir, would it be inconvenient for you to slide your paper the other direction when you're finished with a page?
The thing I'm afraid of is you might get a bunch of odor, but it just seems to me you might get it away from the microphone. I thought it's easy would be to read it and just pull it to stay off that. But you don't let me interfere. We were using Mark and I were using it. Well,
that's what he
said. I don't want to interfere, sir.
No, it'd be better if we put underneath.
How do you feel, Mark?
I don't notice it that much. It's kind of uncomfortable.
Whatever feels most natural to you, and I'll...
I just put
it off the side.
There's one thing I can ask you. As long as you want to hold that, it would be okay, because if you want to hold it even entirely down, you still can get shadows there, because it's going to get light up.
Sir, would it help if we move the microphone back? Or move it just which way?
So it's out of the way of the paper instead of here? Or
just a little bit.
Not much. I don't need to.
Like that?
Better?
That's a little easier.
That better for you?
That's that. Do you mind if we did that?
Fine.
I'd like to have it so that when your papers are one page you are finished, so they're sort of neatly piled up. It looks better.
Oh, your shop's
at going. That's all right, Mike. It's not a major question.
Yeah.
I hesitate to
do it this way, too.
Yeah.
You draw attention to
it, so. Last time we did one, you took put them off to this side, I thought. Yeah. And they were
whatever she was that, girl.
No, we'll take it off. Didn't want to level check. Now maybe just like,
oh, throw them underneath.
I do.
All right, try that.
All right.
Well,
I had to take you.
I understand. Now, these little things sometimes irritate me a little.
Well, it's just a
sense.
Don, all right?
Yeah.
Are we all right?
Is Lyndon satisfied?
Bill?
Sure, I'll give you a cue from here.
Are you satisfied?
And I won't understand. I don't care.
Don't.
I hope it won't distract you if I leave the room and go watch it on the truck.
Oh, whatever you like.
Fine.
Do you want to clock this?
What if this camera goes, this is the other camera?
Yes, sir.
So I don't care about the clock.
You can, if it'll distract you, just turn it around.
Oh, I won't be looking at it. Just give it. You can take it out of it.
Okay.
We'll get it out. You might as well get it off the stage because I have a time.
That's why I'm just lighting the clock.
Is Bill in inside of the
room? You have like your
okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Set ours. That will last a cool package. Gotcha. All right, we are getting in. We got a minute 45. He's actually doing things. Getting in.
We'll tell Mark when we're done.
Mark, 11
outside.
Actually, if you stand a few seconds there while we put an outside shot. How much time do you have? You have 45 seconds, sir, from that road to Chesmont. I got my hair. Bill? He's not in the office, he's gonna be right back. 30 seconds to cue.
More on air.
No, he's not, here we are. About 20 seconds, sir, like you.
Well done.
No, this is cue, yeah. 15 seconds.
Good evening. I ask for this television time tonight to make public a plan for peace that can end the war in Vietnam. The offer that I can now present on behalf of the government of the United States and the government of South Vietnam, with the full knowledge and approval of President Chu, is both generous and far-reaching. It is a plan to end the war now. It includes an offer to withdraw all American forces within 6 months of an agreement. Its acceptance would mean the speedy return of all the prisoners of war to their homes. 3 years ago, when I took office, there were 550,000 Americans in Vietnam. The number killed in action was running as high as 300 a week. There were no plans to bring any Americans home, and the only thing that had been settled in Paris was the shape of the conference table. I immediately moved to fulfill a pledge I had made to the American people, to bring about a peace that could last, not only for the United States, but for the long-suffering people of Southeast Asia. There were two honorable paths open to us. The path of negotiation was and is the path we prefer. But it takes two to negotiate. There had to be another way in case the other side refused to negotiate. That path we call Vietnamization. What it meant was training and equipping the South Vietnamese to defend themselves and steadily withdrawing Americans as they developed the capability to do so. The path of Vietnamization has been successful. 2 weeks ago, you will recall that I announced that by May 1st, American forces in Vietnam would be down to 69,000. That means almost 1.5 million Americans will have been brought home from Vietnam over the past 3 years. In terms of American lives, the losses of 300 a week have been reduced by over 95% to less than 10 a week. But the path of Vietnamization has been the long voyage home. It has strained the patience and tested the perseverance of the American people. What are the shortcuts? The shortcut we prefer, the path of negotiation. Progress here has been disappointing. The American people deserve an accounting of why it's been disappointing. And tonight, I intend to give you that accounting, and in so doing, I'm going to try to break the deadlock in the negotiations. We have made a series of public proposals designed to bring an end to the conflict. But early in this administration, after 10 months of no progress in the public Paris talks, I became convinced that it was necessary to explore the possibility of negotiating in private channels to see whether it would be possible to end the public deadlock. After consultation with Secretary of State Rogers, our ambassador in Saigon, our chief negotiator in Paris, with the full knowledge and approval of President Chu, I sent Dr. Kissinger to Paris as my personal representative on August 4th, 1969, 30 months ago, to begin the secret peace negotiations. Since that time, Dr. Kissinger has traveled to Paris 12 times on these secret missions. He has met seven times with Lee Dak Tho, one of Hanoi's top political leaders, and ministers Wan Quy, head of the North Vietnamese delegation to the Paris talks. And he's met with ministers Wan Quy five times alone. I would like, incidentally, to take this opportunity to thank President Pompidou of France for his personal assistance in helping to make the arrangements for these secret talks. Now, this is why I initiated these private negotiations. Privately, both sides can be more flexible in offering new approaches. And also, private discussions allow both sides to talk frankly, to take positions free from the pressure of public debate. In seeking peace in Vietnam, with so many lives at stake, I felt we could not afford to let any opportunity go by, private or public, to negotiate a settlement. As I have stated on a number of occasions, I was prepared, and I remain prepared, to explore any avenue, public or private, to speed negotiations to end the war. For 30 months, whenever Secretary Rogers, Dr. Kissinger, or I were asked about secret negotiations, we would only say we were pursuing every possible channel in our search for peace. There would thus never a lead, because we were determined not to jeopardize the secret negotiations. Until recently, this course showed signs of yielding some progress. Now, however, it is my judgment that the purposes of peace will best be served by bringing out publicly the proposals we have been making in private. Nothing is served by silence when the other side exploits our good faith to divide America and to avoid the conference table. And nothing is served by silence when it misleads some Americans into accusing their own government of failing to do what it has already done. And nothing is served by silence when it enables the other side to imply possible solutions publicly that it is already flatly rejected privately. The time has come to lay the record of our secret negotiations on the table. Just as secret negotiations can sometimes break a public deadline, public disclosure may help to break a secret deadline. Some Americans who believe what the North Vietnamese led them to believe have charged that the United States has not pursued negotiations intensively. As the record that I now disclose will show, just the opposite is true. Questions have been raised as to why we have not proposed a deadline for the withdrawal of all American forces in exchange for a ceasefire and the return of prisoners of war. Why we have not discussed the 7-point proposal made by the Viet Cong last July in Paris. Why we have not submitted a new plan of our own to move the negotiations off dead center. As the private record will show, we've taken all these steps and more, and have been flatly rejected or ignored by the other side. On May 31, 1971, 8 months ago, at one of the secret meetings in Paris, we offered specifically to agree to a deadline for the withdrawal of all American forces in exchange for the release of all prisoners of war and the ceasefire. At the next private meeting on June 26, the North Vietnamese rejected our offer. They privately proposed instead their own 9-point plan, which insisted that we overthrow the government of South Vietnam. 5 days later, on July 1st, the enemy publicly presented a different package of proposals, the 7-point Viet Cong plan. That posed the dilemma. Which package should we respond to, the public plan or the secret plan? On July 12, at another private meeting in Paris, Dr. Kissinger put that question to the North Vietnamese directly. They said we should deal with their 9-point secret plan, because it covered all of Indochina, including Laos and Cambodia, while the Viet Cong 7-point proposal was limited to Vietnam. And so that's what we did. But we went even beyond that, dealing with some of the points in the public plan that were not covered in the secret plan. On August 16, at another private meeting, we went further. We offered a complete withdrawal of U.S. and allied forces within 9 months of capture and agreement on overall settlement. On September 13th, the North Vietnamese rejected that proposal. They continued to insist that we overthrow the South Vietnamese government. Now, what has been the result of these private actions? For months, the North Vietnamese have been berating us in public sessions for not responding to their side's publicly presented seven-point plan. The truth is that we did respond to the enemy's plan in the manner they wanted to respond, secretly. In full possession of our complete response, the North Vietnamese publicly denounced us for not having responded at all. They have used many Americans in the press and the Congress into echoing their propaganda. Americans who could not know they were being falsely used by the enemy to stir up divisiveness in this country. I decided in October that we should make another attempt to break the deadline. I consulted with President Pugh, who concurred fully in a new plan. On October 11th, I sent a private communication to the North Vietnamese that contained new elements that could move negotiations forward. I urged a meeting on November 1st between Dr. Kissinger and Special Advisor Lee Duc Tho or some other appropriate official from Hanoi. On October 25, the North Vietnamese agreed to meet, suggested November 20 as the time to meet. On November 17, just 3 days before the scheduled meeting, they said Lee Duc Tho was ill. We offered to meet as soon as he recovered, either with him or immediately with any other authorized leader who could come from Hanoi. 2 months have passed since they called off that meeting. The only reply to our plan has been an increase in troop infiltration from North Vietnam and communist military offensives in Laos and Cambodia. Our proposal for peace was answered by a step-up in the war on their part. That is where matters stand today. We are being asked publicly to respond to proposals that we answered and in some respects accepted months ago in private. We are being asked publicly to set a terminal date for our withdrawals when we already offered one in private. And the most comprehensive peace plan of this conflict lies ignored in a secret channel while the enemy tries again for military victory. That is why I have instructed Ambassador Porter to present our plan publicly at this Thursday session of the Paris Peace Talks, along with alternatives to make it even more possible. We are publishing the full details of our plan tonight. It will prove beyond doubt which side has made every effort to make these negotiations succeed. It will show unmistakably that Hanoi, not Washington or Saigon, has made the war go on. Here is the essence of our peace plan. Public disclosure may gain it the attention it deserves in Hanoi. Within 6 months of an agreement, we shall withdraw all U.S. and allied forces from South Vietnam. We shall exchange all prisoners of war. There shall be a ceasefire throughout Indochina. There shall be a new presidential election in South Vietnam. President Pugh will announce the elements of this election. These include international supervision and an independent body to organize and run the election, representing all political forces in South Vietnam, including the National Liberation Front. Furthermore, President Pugh has informed me that within the framework of the agreement outlined above, he makes the following offer. He and Vice President Wong would be ready to resign 1 month before the new election. The Chairman of the Senate, as caretaker head of the government, would assume administrative responsibilities in South Vietnam. But the election would be the sole responsibility of the independent election body I have just described. There are several other proposals in our new peace plan. For example, As we offered privately on July 26 of last year, we remain prepared to undertake a major reconstruction program throughout Indochina, including North Vietnam, to help all these people recover from the ravages of a generation of war. We will pursue any approach that will speed negotiations. We are ready to negotiate the plan that I have outlined tonight and conclude a comprehensive agreement on all military and political issues. Because some parts of this agreement could prove more difficult to negotiate than others, we would be willing to begin implementing certain military aspects while negotiations continue on the implementation of other issues, just as we suggested in our private proposal in October. Or, as we proposed last May, we remain willing to settle only the military issues and leave the political issues to the Vietnamese alone. Under this approach, we would withdraw all U.S. and allied forces within 6 months in exchange for Indochina ceasefire and the release of all prisoners. The choice is up to the enemy. This is a settlement offer which is fair to North Vietnam and fair to South Vietnam. It deserves the light of public scrutiny by these nations and by other nations throughout the world. And it deserves the united support of the American people. We made the substance of this generous offer privately over 3 months ago. It has not been rejected, but it has been ignored. I reiterate that peace offer tonight. It can no longer be ignored. The only thing this plan does not do is to join our enemy to overthrow our ally, which the United States of America will never do. If the enemy wants peace, it will have to recognize the important difference between settlement and surrender. This has been a long and agonizing struggle, but it is difficult to see how anyone, regardless of his past position on the war, could now say that we have not gone the extra mile in offering a settlement that is fair, fair to everybody concerned. By the steadiness of our withdrawal of troops, America has proved its resolution to end our involvement in the war. By our readiness to act in the spirit of conciliation, America has proved its desire to be involved in the building of a permanent peace throughout Indochina. We are ready to negotiate peace immediately. If the enemy rejects our offer to negotiate, we shall continue our program of ending American involvement in the war by withdrawing our remaining forces as the South Vietnamese develop the capability to defend themselves. If the enemy's answer to our peace offer is to step up their military attacks, I shall fully meet my responsibility as Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces to protect our remaining troops. We do not prefer this course of action. We want to end the war, not only for America, but for all the people of Indochina. The plan I propose tonight can accomplish that goal. Some of our citizens have become accustomed to thinking that whatever our government says must be false, and whatever our enemies say must be true, as far as this war is concerned. For the record, I have revealed tonight proves the contrary. We can now demonstrate publicly what we have long been demonstrating privately, that America has taken the initiative not only to end our participation in this war, but to end the war itself for all concerned. This has been the longest, the most difficult war in American history. Honest and patriotic Americans have disagreed as to whether we should have become involved at all 9 years ago, and there has been disagreement on the conduct of the war. The proposal I have made tonight is one on which we all can agree. Let us unite now. Unite in our search for peace. A peace that is fair to both sides. A peace that can last. Thank you. Good night.
I know. That's adorable.
I think you're asking for it.
Yeah. probably better cost, they get some of this one, they...
Well, you may be making a big order, if you were to get a real thing, they drive half of that, but...
Yes, well, we should, but it's excellent, thank you.
Well, thank you for your cooperation, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I was very happy with your lunch, I appreciate your letter, but not, I've been wanting to do that for a long time.
I don't know what the...
No, it's not that, we just...